All right, so I'm going to pick up today, get back to divine guidance, our third week of divine guidance. I'm just quickly going to hit where we went, and if you need a CD, let me know. It's on the internet. You can go there and download it the first 2 weeks. But we started a series about being divinely guided by God, and He wants us to know where to go. Amen? And when to go, and when not to go. And when to tell others to go or not to go, because that's His divine plan, is He's our shepherd. And that's what we learned, that we want those that are in the family of God, we're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God, not by the spirit of the world, which is confusion, turmoil, fear is not from God. So we talked about following the great shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd, great shepherd, about hearing His voice, learning to hear His voice, and knowing, is it good? Or is it evil? That's the way we know if it's God or if it's the devil or the world or could be me, wrong thinking. We must press in to know that will, to know the plan of the Father. God's not going to just make us establish a relationship with Him. We've got to do that on our own so that we'll know Him and know that was His voice and not His voice. So where I stopped on week 2, I'm going to pick up here. Talking about the shepherd, His voice. If we follow His words, I want to talk about following His words, the great shepherd's words, and following His Spirit. Because the Word and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, they'll always agree. And that's how we'll know if this is God. And if we do that, it's always going to be safe, and we'll have peace, and things will work out. In being led by God, let's go on, turn on over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to read verses 14 through 26 quickly here. This is Paul encouraging and commanding Timothy. It says, remind them of these things, Timothy, charging them before the Lord not to be in strife about words that or lead to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent. You know, Jesus didn't just go minister to everybody. He ministered to all that God had called Him to minister to. He didn't waste His time with His words. Amen? Because they were words from heaven, and they needed to be spoken where and when God needed them to. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. And that's where the Word can be, it needs to be rightly divided, but it can be wrongly divided. He wouldn't say that if it couldn't been or if it hadn't been already. But shun, that means be totally away from, shun profane and idle babblings, which is wicked babblings in the Greek. It just means wicked sayings. For they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message was spread like cancer. And he mentioned Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past. And they overthrow the faith of some. See, they're taking away their hope. If you take away the resurrection, we have no hope. If Jesus is already gone and that's it, what are we here for? We might as well just lay down. But see, that's not the truth. And just a little bit of truth. In the body, in the armor, what is it we have? The belt of what? Truth. What does that belt do? Yeah, let me tell you something. I'm a pastor, but guess what? I ain't got my belt on this morning. I ran outside without the belt on. This morning I was thinking about the belt of truth. Because see, now don't get a picture of this. But my britches fall down. I ain't looking good. You're not going to receive anything else if I'm standing up here in my bloomers. Right? I might have my helmet of salvation on, the breastplate of righteousness. I have my sword in my hand. I'll still have my shoes of peace on. But it just don't look right. See, that's what that belt of truth does. If you don't wear it, don't even think you're going to do all this work for God. Because, see, truth is what determines who you are and what you believe. And we got to keep it on continuously. Amen? Amen. So truth, where'd I get to? Verse 18. Who have strayed concerning the truth, got their pants down. They out there babbling all these things, saying that the resurrection is already past. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and He knows those who are not. Right? And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Those babblings. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of silver, but also of wood, clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy. Those that are wearing the belt of truth and saying, rightly dividing the word of God, those are vessels of honor. But then there's going to be more that are not vessels of honor because they're not speaking the word. Jesus, they're going to appear to him on that day, and he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. But Lord, we prophesied in your name. We did miracles in your name. Yeah, in the name of Jesus, it'll still work, but it wasn't from their heart. It was so they could get money in their pocket. Amen? And Jesus is going to say, depart from me. They wasn't wearing the belt of truth. It was a belt of deception. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, set apart, and useful for the masters, prepared for every good work. Every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid the foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and be patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. See, we don't. It's not eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth anymore. It's bless those that curse you and pray for those that despitefully use you. And see, that's how we're going to be led by the Spirit of God in these last days. We're not going to be out here holding the picket sign, speaking against homosexuality or against Islam. No, we're going to do it with the belt of truth, with love, but we're going to speak that love with power. Amen? And we'll do it the right way, and that will win some. It won't win them all. But Jesus didn't say it would. He said there's a broad gate, and then there's a narrow gate. And he's the sheep shepherd. He wants them corralled in. But we just got to, like John, we got to go out and be that voice crying out in the wilderness. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's in me. Look at my life. In being led by God, it's important to know that his word and his spirit, this is how we're going to know they agree. They will always be in agreement. They won't be in opposition. God will never lead you contrary to the word. Right, the word rightly divided. Matthew 4:17, you don't have to turn there, says Jesus began his ministry by preaching what John was saying. See, him and John, they agreed. He wasn't going to come, if John had been called, which he was called by God, separated from his mother's womb. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Amen? That's our key. See, the Holy Ghost was saying the same thing that Jesus said. And they were cousins, but John was a witness to bear witness to Jesus. The Spirit bearing witness with Jesus' Spirit, bearing witness to the Word that they called of John, that the Word said this will be the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the same message Jesus picked up when John got put in prison, or when Jesus started his ministry. God's true character, power, and plan for man was now being revealed by Jesus, the Son of God. That true plan, see, and that's where people are still in the old covenant, that we got to help them get out. I said, we got to help them get out. Ruthie is helping some people. She's going to help some people in school get out of this old mentality, this me mentality. See, in the old covenant, they came out of Egypt, but Egypt never came out of them. Did you hear that? God brought them out to bring them in, but he couldn't get Egypt out of them because the Spirit of God was not on the inside of them. See, people don't understand that. Well, why did God allow this? Or why did God... See, God was not on the inside anymore. So he's got to lead them by things on the outside. by the fire by day, and the cloud by day, and the fire by night. See, they didn't understand that, but we do. And God's going to help us to know. Now we're in the new covenant. We got God inside. Amen. We don't need to look on the outside. Anywhere I go, I'm protected. I just officiated a funeral for my nephew. God gave me the ability, the power to stand and do that, to achieve that. And there's so much there. But we got to help people to understand that God is there. And He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And He never has bad intentions for us. Amen? Amen. He has good places for us to go. But He is not going to override man's will that He gave us from the beginning. Choose life. In other words, choose me or choose death. That's always been set before us in the beginning. It was hidden in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For our benefit, it was hidden. But because of the devil, he brought it out and served it to Adam and Eve. And they, you know, if you've never had evil, all you've ever known is good. What great deception there is. But see, the devil knew that. And that's why we have no room in our heart for him. There's no repentance for him, right? We're always to hate evil. Hate it. Never let the sun go down on that hatred toward evil. But we're called to love people. Amen. This is talking about being divinely guided by God. And this is how we're going to help people. We're going to win people for Jesus, is knowing what to minister to them. Like we're not going to minister death, the old covenant, because that is a ministry of death. Now, we might have to the old ungodly, sometimes we got to show them how sinful they are. That's what the law is for. Paul said it's good. The law is good. For if you're going to follow every part of it, and somebody says, well, you know, I don't need God. I got the commandments. You know, I don't need Jesus. I've got the commandments. Well, then we've got to show them how sinful they are, because Jesus is the only way out. He's the only way to the Father. That the law is good if you want to break somebody out of it. But the goodness of God is going to lead them to repent. When I was a smoker, if you told me I smell like smoke and smoking is going to burn your lungs and you're going to die early, it made me want to smoke the more. See, they were giving me the ministry of death. But when I read that my body was a temple of the Holy Ghost, this is after I got born again, and if they're not even born again in smoke, and I'm not against smokers, y'all understand that, don't you? Because I was one. I'm saying what God did for me. And if you show them that you don't even try to minister that about the Holy Ghost if they're not born again, what you got to do is get them to Jesus, and a lot of times Jesus might take it right away from them, that desire away. But he didn't with me. I'm not saying he wouldn't. See, he ministers to different people. But that was something I worked on through the Word, and God worked with me. And when I ran across that scripture, there was the power. There was the ability right there that I found that my body is God's temple. And Lord, how can I witness in front of people if I'm smoking and destroying your temple? This is how he ministered to me, the Holy Ghost. And then I said, okay, Lord, give me the strength. You said I can do all things through that anointing. And I started asking for that help, and I would throw them away. And then I'd go bring them back. But I kept putting that word in there, and God strengthened me, and eventually he helped me, he delivered me from that habit. Amen? And I do not have a temptation for that anymore. When I'm around it, I'm like, how did I used to do that? Because when you're in sin, it's pleasurable, right? That's what the Bible says, for a season. Smoking, has been said, can take 7 to 10 years off your life. I got back 20. I said, I got back 20 because I'm looking for a double anointing. Amen. God said, I mean, even the doctor says, if you quit smoking for a certain amount of time, your lungs will heal and recover. And when I heard that, I'm like, I knew that. I knew that when I prayed it. I said, God, heal my lungs that I destroyed. Well, why didn't you say God destroyed them? God didn't destroy them. See, a lot of people want to blame God for their problem. Well, if it hadn't been for... if you hadn't sent the devil, he didn't send the devil. And all this sin would have come into the world. See, he didn't send the devil. He sent Lucifer. He created Lucifer, a wonderful praise and worship angel. It said iniquity was found in him. See, in him. That's how God is. He gives even the angels the choice to know God. And to stay with God, and anything away from God is darkness, which is called sin. It was found in Lucifer. Praise the Lord. We got on a trail there, didn't we? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what Jesus, following his words, will lead you to. Psalms 23. Terry mentioned the valleys. Here's our shepherd leading us to those in those valleys, in those green pastures and beside those still waters. That's a quiet place. See, I don't look at valleys as bad places. I look at them as quiet places. Even if my enemy's there, I am quiet because I'm hearing God's voice. Even if they got the sword and their guns aimed at me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What is his rod and his staff? It's his word and his spirit. Hallelujah. That's what comforts me in that valley when my enemy is pressed on all sides. The prophet in the Old Testament said, Lord, open my servant's eyes that he may truly see that there greater is he that's with us than he that's against us. He opened those eyes, Elijah, and said, Lord, open his spiritual eyes. And he saw angels of fire, chariots of fire, encamped all about them. But there was armies of men, but they had no... It was over. Once seen into the spirit, his hope, his faith kicked in. See, that's when your faith is up. And he believed. And that whole army, Elijah spoke blindness on them. He didn't pray fire down from heaven. He spoke blindness. And he led them back to, he led them back to where they came from. And then prayed that their eyes be opened back up. That was really mercy. He could have brought fire down from heaven and consumed them. Amen. But praise God that he had a heart for God and had God's compassion and mercy, and he operated in it. See, there's prophets out there that can operate contrary to what God's word. If they're in the Old Testament, they can be doing more harm than good, right? Because we got to rightly divide the word now. We've got both covenants now. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy, I came to fulfill. So therefore, we've got to carry on. I'm not going to try to feel something Jesus felt. I need to say that again. I'm not going to try to feel something that he's already fulfilled. I'm just going to operate in it. We're going to operate in it. Rightly. Rightly. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, those chapters, it says Jesus began to correct the people's understanding of the old covenant of God's kingdom, revealing the true spiritual purpose of God behind the law that had been given to Moses. Remember, Moses was the lawgiver. Grace and truth came by who? Jesus Christ. New covenant. God's only Son in the earth. Filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Filled with the Holy Spirit in the Jordan River. Filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. That's Jesus. And then he took from that and gave it to us, the church, on the day of Pentecost. One feeling is not enough. I probably said that before. We're talking about being guided by God. You can't fill up here on Sunday and come back here next Sunday without filling up and expect to be divinely guided by God. You understand that? Now, I'm not saying you got to have his Bible open Monday through Saturday, but what you got to do is you got to have your heart open and your spiritual ears open. And you got to be thinking and meditating upon what you have read. Because when you do that, you're continuing your relationship with the Lord. And out of that relationship will come power. Not your ability, but God's ability that he's put on the inside of you. You'll see it. Amen? And you'll start operating it more. And out of that relationship, you'll start witnessing to others about what great things God has done for you. And out of that, when you start doing that, you reap what you sow. The more you give out, the more God gives you. In other words, the revelation will come. Don't expect God to give you something different if you hadn't used what he's already given you. Amen? I mean, he wants to give you more than we can even, the capacity that we can hold. I'm not talking about your heart, your spirit. I'm talking about your mind, understanding. See, wisdom is in here. It's not in your head. If you're looking for God's wisdom in your head, you might as well just cut it off. Don't you do that literally now. Y'all look at me like, uh-oh. God, I better not say that. God don't want to cut your head off. He just wants you to use your head that he gave you. But keep it hooked up to your spirit, right? Keep it hooked up to your spirit. You know, a horse, if he can't get his, if he's laying on the ground, if he can't throw his head up, that horse is defeated. He can't do nothing unless his head goes first. Well, we can't do nothing unless our heart goes first. Amen? Amen. The wisdom of God. We'll do it. We'll try all that we got out of our head, and we're going to end up losing. We're going to mess it up. But if we'll do it God's way, if we'll pull that wisdom and ask for that wisdom out of our heart, God will show us and lead us to places that we're like, wow, man, that's impossible. That's God. Amen. I ain't even turned the page yet, and the clock's still ticking. Praise the Lord. Next topic, it's always safe. That's the word. We're going to be safe if we follow that word. We'll always be safe also if we follow the Spirit of God. Many Christians say that they would do whatever God wants them to do if they just knew what it was. Anybody heard people say that? Man, I'd be on fire if I just knew what God had called me to do. I'd be willing to go do it right now. If I only knew. You remember in the New Testament, you remember the rich young ruler who came running and fell at the feet of Jesus and said, Lord, what must I do? Lord, what can I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? Because he told him all the things that he'd done. He said, good master. Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but one, and that's God. See, even Jesus humbled himself and said, it's not me that's doing these great mighty things. It's God in me, the Father in me. And Jesus told him. Because, man, he had his resume written right there before Jesus. He threw it up there. Jesus, look at me. I've kept all the commandments, all these I've done. He's excited about things he had done. The flesh will get excited when you do something. And that we are judged here on this earth. And our job, the way we go up is we are performance-based. What have you done? Well, you got to do this. You got to do this to achieve this. It's all about performance. To God, it's not. It's what Christ has done for us. He come to Jesus and said, look at all I've done. I am on my way to heaven, am I not, Jesus? And he said, this one thing, just one out of all those commandments. I think it's maybe just the one thing Jesus pointed out. We could probably be safe to say that. I don't think he kept all those commandments. But Jesus said, this one thing you lacked. Maybe he was talking about the Ten Commandments. He said, sell all that you have and come and worship me. And he said the rich young ruler went away sad because he didn't trust God in his finances. And when he went away, Jesus said if he had given what I asked of him, God would have given back to him 100 times in that lifetime and plus a benefit of eternal life. But see, the riches had a hold of him. See, his heart was far from him because his treasure, where your heart is, there your treasure is. His heart was in his money, in his riches. And Jesus knew that. You say, well, why did Jesus bust his bubble? Because Jesus said he loved him. Looking at him, because he wanted him in heaven. Now we don't know if he didn't make it or not, but Jesus pointed at what was keeping him out of the kingdom of heaven, and that was trusting in riches. See, he thought Jesus was showing him, this is what my will is, that you follow me and inherit the true riches of heaven, which is Jesus. And so that's where we've got to help people understand. Because Jesus said that he is speaking to his people. We must develop our listening skills. Because the people were saying, I'll do God's will if I only knew what it was. God is speaking. He has not quit speaking since he began. His word is alive. His word is alive. And all they got to do is pick up this book and not just read it as a book, but know it's a person. It's God the Father speaking to me personally. And his will is in this book. When I read, I didn't know which way. I just knew I was born again. I knew God had called me for a purpose. And I was reading through here, having Bible studies at my home. And I read back in the Old Testament, I read across where it said a minister. And when I read, we would just stand up in my home, and we would read different passages, and it was my turn to read, just like Jesus stood up that day and read out of the gospel, read out of the book, and he found himself. For this purpose has God called me and anointed me to open the eyes of the blind. when Jesus found himself that day, when I read that word minister, and I'd read minister before, but that day, a rhema word came. I broke down in my living room floor, and I knew God had called me to minister his word. And it just broke me down. I'm talking about a good breaking. I just fell and worshiped the Lord. Tears, it was just boom, on the inside. It ain't something you can teach somebody. I can't teach Reed what God's called him to. I can't teach Larry what God has called him to. But I can show you Jesus. And if you'll follow him, that word will just, it'll melt your heart. And you'll know. The Holy Spirit will reveal his plan to you. And that's all he showed me, just minister. And then step by step, through the Apostle Paul, arise, stand upon your feet. For this purpose have I called you, to turn those from the power of darkness into the power of light. Translate them into the Son of Jesus Christ, into that kingdom, the kingdom of light. See, that was a purpose. Different areas, God showed me different things. And it all came to me just following him and seeking after him and wanting to know him more and more. That's a safe way to go. Following the Spirit of God, the voice of the shepherd is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Same voice. God, three in one. It's the same voice. He is the voice of comfort. In John 15:26, the book of John, Jesus talking about how the world is going to hate you. And if they don't hate you, you need to really look at yourself and say, am I doing the will of God? Because if the world loves you, you're not doing what Jesus was called to do, because they hated him. They hated what he was saying because he was revealing their sin, their wickedness, so they would get, hopefully they would repent and turn. But when Jesus said in verse 26, but when the Helper comes, the voice of the Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit is the voice of comfort. He's also called your Helper. That Helper means comforter in the Greek. When your Comforter comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So see, we're going to bear witness of Jesus. Remember when Jesus told us that if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father? In other words, that means they've never received Christ. Because once you received him, you're going to be a witness. Your life is going to witness to the world that you're a child of God. You're different. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. See, that's different. That's what God does. That's what Jesus did. He was in this world, walked in this world, taught the kingdom of God as a man in this earth. And a lot of people, some received him, but some hated him. Wanted to throw him off a cliff at one time. They didn't know Jesus had took cliff hanging. It didn't matter what you did to him. Until it was time for him to go on the cross, you wasn't going to get rid of him. He just vanished. How he did it, that's between him and God. All I know, if he hadn't did it, we couldn't be here today saved if he hadn't went to that cross. He said, no man takes my life. He said, I choose to lay it down. And I lay it down, and I also will. He's going to resurrect. He said it. He did it. And we're living in it. So being divinely guided, it's going to be the voice of the Comforter. It's going to bear witness with your spirit. He will lead you into all spiritual truth. And I'm going to read this, and we're probably going to finish right here with John. The Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. In John 16, 7 through 15, I'm going to start at verses 5. John 16, 5. The Holy Spirit, this is who he is, and this is his work that he has been called to do, sent here to do. But now I go away, Jesus is saying, to him, to the Father who sent me, and none of you ask me where you are going. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. what sin? Of righteousness and of judgment. And Jesus went down here in verse 9 and says, the sin that the Holy Spirit is going to convict you of is because they do not believe in Jesus. That's the only sin the Holy Spirit convicts you of, is not receiving Jesus. This is His work. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, the Holy Spirit brings judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. That is the devil, not you. See, when the Holy Spirit's come, now Jesus has defeated him. Now you stand in judgment because we have the victory. That's what Terry says, told the devil this morning, get underneath our feet. See, he's judged. The devil's been judged now of what he did from the beginning. We get to, Jesus defeated him openly and says, your day is over. Now there's coming a day he's going to be chained and thrown into the lake of fire and all his devils and demons with him. But right now he's being judged by us, by the word of God. When we speak that word, he comes into judgment and he has to go under that judgment. Amen? Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but right now you can't bear them because you've got to build that relationship with the Holy Spirit. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you. Say, God will guide me by His Holy Spirit. Because see, the Holy Spirit says He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He's not hearing what you say, He's hearing what Jesus says. And when I say what Jesus said, Jesus tells the Holy Ghost, do it. Whatever you ask the Father in my name. See, until then, we didn't have that authority. Now, we don't pray to the Father, Old Covenant. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And then Jesus tells the Holy Spirit, it's done. And then the Holy Spirit, He manifests it in our life, whether it be healing, whether it be favor, whatever He does. See, when God said, light be, the Holy Spirit is the one that fashioned all the things that God said and made it. He is the work of God, and He does it in you too. We have got to agree with what Jesus said. He will glorify me. That glorifies God. It glorifies God when you're blessed and when you're prospering and when you're walking in health. That is God glorifying Himself in you. And the devil is trying to take your light. He's trying to take that glory. He doesn't have the authority. But he's trying to deceive us, making you think that you don't have it either. He's trying to make you think you don't have your belt on. Right? See, that's your authority. That's your truth. But you've got one that can't be seen with natural eyes. That Jesus has given you all authority. He said, it's been given to me in heaven and earth and in the earth. Go, He says. He's still saying the same word. Just go. See, so get on that motorcycle and go. Preaching this gospel. Being a witness to Jesus. Showing people the love of God. What He's done in my life. Goodness. Showing His goodness in the land of the living. That's what we're called to do. To make disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you right now, Lord, for this word. I thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of each and every believer that has confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I'm asking you right now, Father, we're asking you right now, Lord, to continually reveal things in us, Lord, to guide us to our destiny and our purpose and destination in the great plan that you have for us as individuals, but also, Father, as a church and as a nation, Lord. We want you to be in that place with us, Lord. We want to be right there. You have gone before us, Lord. And you have defeated death, hell, and the grave, so we can stand here and sit here today in that place of victory. And Father, we thank you right now for sending us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who lives and abides within us forever until you call us home, until that last trumpet sounds, until the last trump sounds, Lord, that we're going to be about your business. Not being busy, but being about your business. We're not going to be called to be over here where all this babbling and all this confusion is going on, Lord. We're going to be wearing our spirit, our belt of truth. And we're going to be standing and declaring the works of God. And we're going to see you manifest your glory in us and in the church and in this land. As we go, Father God, just like Peter, Father, that we can expect our shadow, just our shadow of your glory to touch somebody. that, Lord, that they would have a heart of repentance because they felt the anointing. They felt you walk by. They felt your holy presence on the inside of us. And, Lord, it would draw them to you, that we could witness to you and say, you just need Jesus. You don't need to do all this stuff and do all that. You just need Jesus. You need Jesus. He'll take care of all the other stuff. And, Father, we just thank you for that right now, Lord, for creative ways that you give us to minister on our job and in our community. And, Lord, that we see, just like your servant Gehazi looked up and saw into the Spirit, Lord, we see the heart of Jesus, the heart of the Father, that we're able to look through people's sin, that we're able to look through the flesh and see the heart that's captured by the devil. To see that soul that's captured, Lord, you give us the ability to witness to them in creative ways. You give us, through your gifts, the Holy Spirit. You, Holy Spirit, we just surrender ourselves to let your gifts manifest through us, that we could speak a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom and see your gifts of healing and miracles operate to the sick in Jesus' name. And Father, we just say thank you. That is your heart's desire, just like Jesus, to walk on this earth in the victory and go against the kingdom of darkness. Tear it down. Tear down those walls of darkness with the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. If you believe that and receive that, expect supernatural things to start happening in your life. Not by anything you do, but by what Christ is going to do in you. Just be a willing vessel that his power can flow through. That you'll just say something, you'll be, wow, where'd that come from? But it'll minister to somebody, and then if they're not born again, you can just lead them to Christ right there. You're going to hear the shepherd's voice and operate in his majesty. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any prayer requests you need this morning that we can agree with you on?